Reflect on your work at the Capitol and as a House member. Any
Love
bills
it.
That you authored or helped pass that you're proud of?
Oh, yeah. I guess that sounds very self-serving.
I know.
I'm pleased with them. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. Very pleased. One, I was the House author on setting up OSU Tulsa, and that pleased me very much. It originated in the Senate. Charlie Ford was the Senate author, and I was the House author, and worked on that sucker until I thought I'd go crazy. But we got it passed, and also helped all of our Compass Point regional universities, because they all got part of the pie as well. In fact, that's how Northeastern is at Broken Arrow, because they all got some of the money when we started OSU Tulsa. The other one, of course, that I was so pleased about was the setting up of the then Fund for Breast Cancer Research and serving the uninsured or underinsured women with mammography and trying to do a lot of education about early detection. Now it includes other kinds of female cancer, but at that time it was the breast cancer bill. I really had a struggle with that one, really. But in the end result, I had no struggle at all with it, because everybody but one nincompoop in the House was for that bill. John, you've visited the Capitol. You know what the House floor looks like when we're in session. People talk to each other when somebody else is talking. They get up and go out because their constituents have called them away, or they have a telephone that they must answer, because it's a busy, busy place. During our debates on that breast cancer bill, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. It was so gratifying, and there was only one lone hand that debated against that bill in that House, and we finally got it done. Don Ross and I worked real hard on a bill to help set up a fund that would assist blind people, people who had sight problems. We set up an endowment fund through the legislature so that they could get educated and have more materials to help them. Also in school, enhance the Braille program. And the other bill that I was exceptionally proud of, here's that word again, was that I separated the Department of Rehabilitative Services out of DHS because they were a stepchild. DHS is so large, it still is very large, and it covered so many subjects. It was like trying to eat an elephant in one bite, really. And so the Department of Rehabilitative Services was not getting its due. And so I finally got the House and the Senate to pass a bill separating them out. And they have been extremely successful for people with rehabilitative needs. And they're doing very well. Yeah, I was pleased about that. And since I'm in a bragging mode, I never lost a bill that I got heard in committee.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Never. And I was so pleased. I had one vetoed, and it kind of disappointed me.
So that just came down to hard work on your part? You picked the right bills or the right issues, or why didn't you ever lose a bill? Because that's common.
Well, I played wife a lot. I asked for a cashmere coat when all I wanted was a wool sweater. You guys are fun to work with. No, here, my public speaking again and work on television didn't hurt me a bit, because I learned how to debate. I learned how to listen. And listening is a great part of legislating, whether people want to believe it or not. If you just listen to what's going on around you, you can become a good debater. You need to pick bills that aren't foolish or frivolous. I mean, there's no point in authoring something that's silly or frivolous or not worthy of being a law. This is not to say that I didn't do some resolutions that never intended to become law, but they were good resolutions. Those are fine as long as you don't intend these things to become law. That's fine.
Yeah. Did you feel a glass ceiling ever in the legislature, gender bias, for those who maybe not know what the glass ceiling is?
Not really, except I know that's true. I said we only had 7 women in the House, and I was the only one in the House. Now, the Senate had 2 from Tulsa, but I was the only female House member from outside the Oklahoma City area. As such, when I tried to park, when I first got down there in the house parking lot, the wonderful sergeants who are the loves of my life, I think every sergeant down there is great, but they would come up the window and tap on it and say, "I'm sorry, ma'am, this is just for house members." I'd say, "I know." And they say, "Well, are you the wife of a legislator?" "No, I'm a legislator." You know, I had media people asking me all the time, "Well, are you going to play in the golf tournament that House member so-and-so is having, a man, is having this weekend?" "No." "Why, did they not ask you?" "Well, of course they asked me, but I don't hit something and go chase it myself. I'm not going to play golf." So little things like that, and much of our legislation was written for him. Now, I didn't mind being called Madam Chairman. I really didn't. When I was chairman of committees down there, that was fine. I'd rather be called chairman than chairperson or chairwoman. I said, "You can call me honey if you want to. I don't care." That didn't matter to me. So there was some of that there. And in television, there was no doubt I was not paid as much as my male counterparts were. But that was common practice. I liked what I did. I wasn't starving. I wasn't the only breadwinner in my family. But I didn't feel I was held back, and I certainly didn't in the legislature, because I had extremely good luck there, and nobody fired me in television, so I felt just fine. So no, I didn't, but I do recognize it's there. But I am a girl. I grew up with all women. That's fine. I enjoy being a girl, quite frankly. So I never felt left out, or that I wasn't making the money that I deserved, although I would have enjoyed making larger salaries, and I knew that I was not. Now, in the legislature, I made as much as anybody else except the speaker and so forth, but I didn't ever feel that because I was a she, and maybe, John, it's because I started all this a little later in life than most people do. I didn't start television until I was older than most people are when they start. And I'm still doing it. I'm 84, and I still do it some.
You were in your 30s then in television? Mm-hmm. Is that when you started, right?
And that's a little older than most people start.